Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you liked that song, Build Your Kingdom Here. And I thought, you know, what a great thing to add some pictures of what the church is really all about. It's about you. You know, you are the church. It's not the buildings, you know, that hold up the roof. It's the people who enjoy the presence of God in themselves and among his people. So I hope you enjoyed that today. I spent a little bit of time digging out pictures. Well, here we are in the gospel lesson for today. Luke has a section in his gospel which is often called the Lucan travelogue. And it's called that because from chapter 9, verses 51, where it said that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem until chapter 19, when he actually makes his triumphal entry, Luke peppers his gospel, his narrative, with reminders that Jesus is on the way. This section of Scripture is full of encounters and teachings of Jesus as he journeys to Jerusalem to make his life sacrifice for the sins of the world. In the passage for today, Jesus is making his way through towns and villages, teaching some very difficult things. Not because, as I said before, they're hard to understand, but because of the cost of the demands of discipleship. In one such encounter, an unknown man comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" Now, what I hear the man saying is, "What are the chances for me to get into the kingdom of God?" That's really the bottom line, isn't it? Will I be saved? Luke doesn't give us any indication of who the man is or what kind of work he might be involved in. I'm assuming he's an average Joe. Apologies to my friend Joe in our congregation. As far as we know, you would think Luke would point this out. The man is not a scribe. He's not a Pharisee. He's not a priest. He's not a theologian. He's just a guy who's concerned about his eternal welfare. A guy who's come to the conclusion that this Jesus knows something about salvation. Now, let me clarify this idea of salvation for a moment. Because in Scripture, even in Jesus' day, there were lots of ideas about what salvation was. It meant to be preserved from peril, to be kept alive, protected from want. It also meant to receive a state of good health. But most importantly, being saved means that a person's inner being is being preserved from danger posed by sin. Jesus taught that only those who were saved would gain entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, keep in mind, when we talk about being fit to enter the kingdom of God, keep that in mind, that we're talking about salvation of the soul. It's Jesus' first words after the question that gets me every time. He says, "Strive to enter the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Now, talking about entering a narrow door isn't all that comfortable for a man of my girth. Now, don't laugh. You don't know how narrow that door just might be. Let's look at it another way. Matthew 19, Jesus also said that it would be very difficult for a poor man to enter into heaven. In fact, he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, great. Now I have to be skinny and poor to get into heaven. Don't let me get carried away here. Let's go back to the text. Listen again to what Jesus said. Strive to enter the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter it, but will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you are from. The issue for Jesus is not your waist size or your wealth. Remember, Abraham was a very rich man. It's about knowing you and knowing where you are from. Knowing is a word in the Bible that implies closeness and intimacy. It's relational language. It's clear from the Gospels that the religious leaders in Jesus' day emphasized outward acts, not of the heart. Jesus, on the other hand, emphasized the inward person, inward faith. The Jewish leaders emphasized doing, while Jesus, on the other hand, emphasized believing. Throughout his ministry, Jesus spoke of the importance of a saving relationship with God. A saving relationship with God is initiated not by you, but by the Holy Spirit, who works through the Word, holy baptism, and communion. Once it has begun, a saving relationship with God is strengthened through fellowship with God and his people, the church. God established a saving relationship with us at the time of our baptism, and he strengthens that relationship through the bread and wine of Holy Communion. He strengthens that relationship through the fellowship of the church. And Jesus tells us that we should make every effort to enter the narrow door to the kingdom of God. He tells us that we need to keep on making that effort all our lives. The good news for this seemingly impossible to accomplish command is that the door of the kingdom of God is standing wide open to us, and Christ himself is the door. Believers let God remove their sins and their wrongful pride. Believers let God take away their self-righteousness. The door of the kingdom stands wide open for those who trust God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that we only make it through the door by God's grace and mercy. What makes the door narrow is the fact that people often become contented and refuse to take their relationship with God seriously. Some hear the gospel and think, everything's fine. They forget what brought Jesus to the cross. They forget his incredible acts of forgiveness. They forget his amazing grace. So, how does all this look like in our world today? Well, from my perspective, it seems like any reason not to worship is acceptable. Any reason not to be in fellowship with other Christians, it's not really that important. And what Jesus seems to be saying here is, I don't know you. I don't have a relationship with you. I don't know where you come from. You have neglected my presence located in the worship services and in the fellowship with other believers. Worship and fellowship, Bible study, and outreach are where we find Jesus at work. If we're not there, how can he know us or where we're from? To neglect this way of life, which is grounded in the faith that he has already saved us, is to come to a place of unbelief. And we know where that leads. In this text, Jesus even tells us a place where there will be gnashing of teeth. Don't think for a moment that this is the pastor trying to fill up the pews. It is not. You need the church as much as the church needs you. And Jesus would say, this is how you strive to enter the door, by staying connected to Christ through his word and through his sacraments and with his church. You realize that St. Paul often refers to people in the church as the body of Christ. He is here dwelling in and among us as he distributes his gifts. We are here to receive those gifts and to build one another up in our most holy faith and help carry one another's burdens. That can't happen if we're not here. And Jesus will say to those, and I don't say this with any joy, I don't know where you come from. Imagine the God who knows all things. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, you've no longer stayed in relationship with me and with your church. My friends, today is the day of salvation. As long as we're breathing, it is a day of salvation. The door is wide open, and it is only narrow because to so many people, it's just not that important. But one day they will realize the door is shut, and they will have the audacity to argue with God about their exclusion from the kingdom. And they will argue, saying, hey, we ate and drank with the Lord. They might have been physically close, but that's all. If they had truly believed and trusted in Christ, they wouldn't have been able to stay away physically or spiritually. They also, like us, and you're here for this reason, we need to confess our sins and receive forgiveness. We need the empowerment of God's word to live in faith every day, especially in the circumstances that we face. We need the sacraments of the altar to sustain us in our faith and to help us grow. To know God and to be known by him is to live by faith in his salvation work, to trust him on his terms, to live for him according to his word, to let his Holy Spirit work in your heart every day. Let him forgive you and give you a fresh start in life. Let him guide you using his roadmap, the scriptures, and to let him, as he's doing right now, discipline you when you wander from the straight and narrow. And again, I realize I'm preaching to the choir. But have you asked the question, are you fit to enter the narrow door? Have you said to the Lord, Lord, will I be saved? Listen to Jesus' words. Strive not to earn your salvation, but to receive his gifts, the word and the sacraments, in the environment of the church. Fitness is only about bodybuilding when you're thinking about the body of Christ, the church. This is where his gym is located. This is where we grow in our relationship with God and each other. These are difficult words to hear because we all, at one point or another, become a little complacent with our faith and cease to strive for those good things that God has prepared for us to enrich our faith as we journey through this life with Jesus. But the believer knows that the words of Jesus in many places in the Bible are filled with grace and mercy and promise. The Apostle John wrote, he's saying, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God." Jesus himself said, "I came to seek and save the lost." And to top it off in the great chapter, chapter 10 of John, the Good Shepherd chapter, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So if you're like most of us, and this life is pressing on you so that you have lost your initiative to strive to enter for that narrow door, remember these last words of Jesus from that same chapter 10 of John. Jesus said, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." A relationship with Jesus is certainly worth striving for because he has given us his all. In Jesus' name, amen.